Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Good morning and welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Bible on Trial, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am sitting here with our Spirit of Truth Ministry team, including an old member, but a new person who's come into our midst here, and I'll let Don introduce you to him. We have with us Suzette and Rick and Don and our guest, and we hope that you will enjoy and be challenged by what you hear today. I want to call your attention to our chat room, which is up and running, in case you want to chat in with a question or comment. You can do that there. We also have all of our pertinent information about how to get in touch with us and how to find out more about our ministry. Our official website is at spiritoftruthministry.net. Our original website is spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. We also have a Gmail account, spiritoftruthministry@gmail.com, for emails. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 1013, Cala Mesa, California, 92320. We encourage you to make use of these facilities so that you can gain some more perspective about what Spirit of Truth Ministry is and does. Dr. Don, real quick, would you introduce us to your good friend who is here with us today?
Yes, good morning, ma'am. With us today, and an old dear friend, Albert, who lives in Chehalis, Washington. He's passing through this area headed to Florida, and he's listened with me many times to the broadcast over the cell phone. So, Albert, it's nice to have you here in person today.
Thank you. Thank you, Don.
And we will be getting started here in just a moment. Before we do that, Dr. Don, we haven't done this in a little while, and I wanted to do this little particular thing in reminder for our listeners that you can go to our WordPress website at spiritoftruthministry.net and read the primary book, the primary writing that Rick and I did way back in the old days. It was published in 2007. You were instrumental in vetting that book and some of these things. And if your voice is strong enough today, could you take a minute and give our listeners a reason why they should read it?
First of all, when you, the book is entitled The Spirit of the Church. And the picture on the front is a rather startling picture. It shows this little country church with these two black wings behind it. It's a little sinister just to look at that picture. But anyway, this is an amazing book, and I'm the type, I'm a curious, learning type person. And through my life, many times people have come up to me and said, listen, I got this book here, you know, some other book, and I just can't read it. It aggravates me so bad, I just can't read it. Would you like to read it? Well, usually one of those guys that likes to read that. And usually there's some really interesting things in there. Well, this book, Rick and Dennis did a beautiful job putting this together, and there's something about this book that really aggravates Christians. In fact, through the years, it came out, in 2007, some very Christian friends of ours maybe read a few pages, literally got back to the authors and said, this is so terrible. We simply can't read this. And in cases, Dennis, isn't it true? Some of your friends even stopped talking to you.
My cousin, who was one of my very best friends, who is very much a Christian, and he lives in a locale that's about four hours from here. I handed him the book as soon as it was published, and I signed it, and I just said, I hope this blesses you. And he read it, got through chapter two, and then he called me and said, I have thrown this book away because it is inspired by Satan. And as long as you believe this, I can't talk to you. And we haven't talked since 2007, haven't spoken a word.
I would encourage people to read this book. There's a, believe me, there's no false doctrine here. But through history, it's been true through history that people really, really resist truth. In fact, you know, kind of paraphrasing, Jesus said, they hate me. And if you follow me, they're going to hate you. And I think every one of us sitting around this table have had those experiences. So I would encourage people to read this book. It's incredible. And at the end of every chapter, there's a kind of a review of what was covered in the chapter, which is really excellent. So get some courage, read the book, realize it's what's being said there. It's something that you're not going to hear in sermons. You haven't up to this point, and you aren't going to from this point on, except in certain ministries. Our purpose here is to look in the book and find the Bible and find what did Jesus say and what did he teach. And it wasn't until within the last, see, I'm pretty old now, and I tell people kind of as a joke, when I was born, I don't remember this, but they tell me as soon as I was kind of dry up and cleaned up, they slipped the King James Bible in my hand. In other words, I've been in with the King James Bible since I was born. And it's amazing just some of the things we learned in the last few years. And one of the things that really shocked me in the last couple of years is to discover that Jesus did not begin Christianity. That's a real shock. Jesus is not the founder of Christianity. And that's all borne out in the New Testament, the testimony of Jesus. So get the book. What is it now, Dennis? It's free. You can read it online.
You can read it right on our website at spiritoftruthministry.net. If you want one, you can email me. And I happen to know the authors, and we would be happy to get a signed copy to you. We have some left. So if you are interested, you can give us, email us or however you want to get a hold of us. Let's have prayer. Father in heaven. Oh, by the way, thank you, Don, for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And thank you, God, our Father, for bringing us together today at this moment, at this time, to be brought into the truth so that we can be effective servants to the kingdom of heaven and then to the world. Those who seek to be of service to you need to know the truth. If we don't know the truth, then we are not servants of yours. We are servants of the other God. So bring us to a full knowledge of the truth, that which will bring us to the place where we can communicate effectively to those who need to hear this, so that eventually, at the right time, you will be able to come to your servants. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You were saying servants, Dennis, which brings me to the phrase identifier, servants the prophets. God uses that in many places, particularly in Revelation. Do you know what a prophet is? Turn to Exodus chapter 4, and we'll be reading verses 10 through 17. Moses had some peculiarities. And Moses had very strong feelings about his peculiarities. You know that the time in Numbers 14 where God told Moses that these people had tested him 10 times and they'd reached their limit of forgiveness and he was going to destroy them all and make of Moses' family a kingdom. And Moses took it upon himself, in essence, say, God, wait a minute. What are you saying? You're speaking rashly. You need to think about this. Have you considered how this would look to the nations around here that are watching this whole spectacle going on? And what they're going to say is, well, he said he was going to bring this people into the promised land, but then he couldn't do it, so he killed them all in the wilderness. Had you thought about that? Yeah. Well, Moses, of course, was told to strike the rock. I mean, to speak to the rock, and he struck the rock. And
he lost his temper and then lost more than his temper.
He was not allowed to enter the promised land. Well, this is really the first time where we see Moses and his stubbornness. Exodus chapter 4, 10 through 17. Moses said to Yahweh, "But my Lord, never in my life have I been a man of eloquence, either before or since you have spoken to your servant. I am a slow speaker, not able to speak well. Who gave man his mouth?" Yahweh answered him. "Who makes him dumb or deaf, gives him sight or leaves him blind? Is it not I, Yahweh? Now go, I shall help you to speak and tell you what to say. If it please you, my Lord," Moses replied, "send anyone you will." At this, the anger of Yahweh blazed out against Moses, and he said to him, "This is your brother Aaron the Levite. I know that he is a good speaker. He comes to meet you. When he sees you, his heart will be full of joy. You will speak to him and tell him what message to give. I shall help you to speak and to in him too, and instruct you what to do. He himself is to speak to the people in your place. He will be your mouthpiece. And you will be as the God, small g, inspiring him. And take this staff into your hand. With this you will perform the signs." So God here is explaining what the duty of a prophet is. It is to speak the words that God has given him.
May I make a quick comment about the schools of the prophets in the Old Testament? We hear about that, Ezekiel and Elisha particularly. They started a school of prophets, and many people have taken that to mean that these people were having communication directly with God and speaking with God, just like Ezekiel was, or just like Elisha was, or just, you know, Elijah. And they now convert that and they will say, well, you know, my church has a prophet and this woman speaks for God. And so whenever she speaks, I listen. The school of the prophet was not to teach human beings how to communicate with God and allow God to communicate with them. It was to teach them the words of God so that they could take those words to the people as a prophet would take the words of God. As a disciple would do that. But they used the term school of the prophets because they were essentially prophesying in the name of the Lord using words that already existed. Now, does that
they
remind you?
They were speaking words from the law.
From the law, exactly.
And that's why the law and
the prophets. Right. So isn't that what we do? See, we're not putting words in God's mouth. God is not coming to me. I don't know about the rest of you, but God
is
not
Dennis
coming to me.
Well, Dennis has now summed up what I was going to say, so.
God doesn't come to me and say, hey, Neufeld, I want you to go over here and talk to the. Not yet, you see. So, yeah, go ahead, Don.
A good speaker tells you what he's going to tell you. He tells you, and then he tells you what he told you. So we're on track.
Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 27. It is not those who say to me, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom of the heavens, but the person who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, I don't see faith in there. Anyway, what I see is deeds, works, actions. Doing the will of someone else makes you what? A servant. Right? Someone tells you what to do and you do it. That's a servant. Does a servant just believe that his master is Lord? Lord and master is the same word, same meaning. But he doesn't need to do anything that person says. Yeah, you are my Lord, you are my master, and I am your servant, but I'll do what I want to do. What I believe that I think I know what you want,
right.
So I will do that.
Wouldn't be a servant of that Lord very long.
But that's what people believe,
yeah.
You know, and the more evidence to the contrary you give them, the more faith they need to believe it. And then they're guaranteed eternal life because their faith is so strong that no truth can overwhelm it. The lie, that is. When the day comes, and that day is judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, work many miracles in your name? You know, he could have said, what is my name? Then I shall tell them to their faces, I have never known you. Known. That word known is a key word there because in order for the Lord to know us, we need to know the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we can't just say, I know your name, Lord, Lord. Then I shall tell them to their faces, I have never known you. Away from me, you evil men. Now that's another word is wicked. Another word is liars. Therefore, now see, he doesn't just say that and you go, huh? Okay. Well, what am I supposed to do? How do I know you? How do I come to know you? What? How do you come to know me? Well, Is that all you have to say? No, he doesn't leave us with questions. He tells us exactly what we need to know. Therefore, everyone who listens to these words of mine. What? We have to listen. What words? You know, the words of grace, faith? No, he says, my words, the ones I'm telling to Matthew, who's going to write this down later on. Those who listen to these words of mine and acts on them. So in other words, does them. That's do the will of my Father, you know, obey. Does them will be like a sensible man who built his house on rock. Rain came down, floods rose, gales blew, and hurled themselves against the house. And it did not fall. Why? It was founded on rock. But everyone who listens to these words of mine and does not do them. Now, do you notice something there? Oh, yeah, I read John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he's not going to judge anybody. He's just going to, you know, give you a nice rebate. He loves everybody, grace, and that, and so on. So you point out, well, it says you need to do that. Well, but no, he was talking to the Jews then. Those are not words for me. I'm under grace. I've got a new covenant. All these words that he said, they don't apply to me. I've had people tell me that. He was preaching to the Jews. And after the resurrection, we had a whole new covenant and everything, and now it's none of that. None of this applies anymore. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a stupid man who built his house on sand. Rain came in, floods rose, gales blew and struck that house. Wham! It fell. I think of the three little pigs.
Yeah.
And what a fall it had. Yes, Dennis, you're like perched there ready to...
I don't want us to go by a word that we will sometimes use blithely. We saw it here in Matthew 7:23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In Matthew 24:12, Jesus says, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Love for what? The law. 1 John 3:4. This is, and again, one of the primary primary places that we look to understanding the words of Jesus is in John, but we hardly ever read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. They don't take very long, but they are packed with good stuff. 1 John 3:4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Will there be anyone in the kingdom who practices lawlessness?
No.
So, Matthew, last one, Matthew 13:41. The Son of Man, at the end of time, will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, which means there are people inside the kingdom of heaven right now that are practicing lawlessness. But they won't stay there because God is going to send his angels and he's going to tear them out tooth and toenail. And in my case, hair follicles. I mean, if that's an appropriate metaphor.
I'm going to read two verses, then we're going to go to Revelation. The first verse is Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. He, the Son of God, went around the whole of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, curing all kinds of diseases and sickness among the people. His fame spread throughout Syria, and those who were suffering from diseases and painful complaints of one kind or another, the possessed, epileptics, paralyzed, were all brought to him, and he cured them. Large crowds followed him, coming from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and Transjordania. Now, what did it say he was proclaiming?
The gospel of the kingdom.
Gospel of the kingdom. So you know where I'm going now.
Oh, yeah.
Matthew 24, 13. Let's start with 11. Many false prophets will arise. They will deceive many. And with the increase of lawlessness, love in most will grow cold. The man who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now here it is. This gospel of the kingdom. Now what was he preaching?
The gospel of the kingdom.
So when he says gospel of the kingdom, who's he talking about and what is he talking about?
Himself
and what he is saying.
Exactly.
That's the gospel of the kingdom. What Paul is proclaiming is not the gospel of the kingdom. I don't care whether you're on this side of the resurrection or the other side of the resurrection, this side of the covenant or that side of the covenant. What Paul is saying is not the gospel of the kingdom. And like I said before, a few years back, I offered $1,000 to the first person who could prove that what Paul is preaching is exactly the same as what the Son of God was saying as recorded by his eyewitness disciples. Many have tried. None has succeeded. In fact, there's been a couple who joined us because they realized that what we were saying was true. The Son of God says this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed to, and it doesn't say the Jews, it says the whole world, as a witness, a testimony. Those who are proclaiming the testimony of Jesus are witnesses to the truth, because the testimony of Jesus is the truth, just like he told Pilate, "For this reason I was born, came into the world, testify to the truth." And those who are of the truth, they hear me. They believe me. They listen to me. And then the end will come. Now, you know, in Revelation 12, 17, that'd be a verse that you know better than John 3:16 from memory. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. Why was the dragon so enraged with the woman? Because she wouldn't keep her mouth shut.
Through her offspring.
And he couldn't keep those from listening to her. who became her offspring, the last of her offspring. The first one was the Son of God, which makes her what?
Mama.
I've had people that, she's not married? No, she's not married. She's not the church? No, she's not the church. Well, who is she then? The Jews? No, she's not the Jews. She's the Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness. No way, no how, no where.
Because it says the Holy Spirit's a...
Yeah.
And wasn't yesterday the day of the woman? And you'd be surprised at how many women rebel against this thought. That the Holy... That actually, God, in three parts, one of those parts is the feminine.
But you would be very surprised at how many women feel
relief, exactly.
To think that one of the Elohim, one of the gods, the members of the Godhead,
yeah,
is feminine.
Just a quick side story. I was over at one of our favorite places, and maybe we will take out there afterwards. And a friend of mine, whose son I taught in high school, came in to buy some things. And I was sitting there eating my, came over while she was waiting for her stuff to be done. And we started talking. We talked an hour and a half.
Wow.
We closed the place down and spent another half hour out in the parking lot. She was asking questions. And I had an answer for all of them from Scripture. Without having a Bible on me. And she said, but what about the Holy Spirit? I mean, aren't these people filled with the Holy Spirit that have these experiences? So we talked about that, and I said, by the way, you do realize, of course, that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. We have the Father, we have the Son, and we have the Mother. Who is the Holy Spirit? And it stunned her. She had some issues with things that we were talking about. But she stopped at that and she said, now I understand.
Wow.
That makes sense. Women are looking for... Look, when every woman I know has problems talking to their husbands and talking to men because they just don't hear. But now she felt that she could talk to God and God would listen because part of God is
there is
who
a mother.
She is. There is a mother
who is a God, mm-hmm. And she understands.
And she understands.
And we're
exactly.
Could I insert something here?
Yeah, please.
I'm known to my friends as the coffee shop evangelist, which I do every day. And I try to keep things very simple. And when this issue comes up, let me just quickly tell what I say. I don't have the text in it. You can probably find it for us. It says, Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father. Well, if you happen to look up begotten in Webster's, what does it say? Sired.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I said, okay, we're all going to go to heaven, and we're going to sit down around the family of God, and it's going to be a stag party. It's all males. No, there's going to be a woman there. And sometimes that helps people to really visualize this.
Well, and in order to enter the kingdom of God, you need to be born of the Spirit. And I don't know anybody who's ever been born of a man.
Nope.
The other thing is that why do we have women? Where did women come from?
God created.
Did Adam give birth to Eve?
No. God created
Adam. No. So where did the first woman come from?
From genetic material of Adam. Adam and Eve are identical twins,
yeah.
Except for one chromosome.
God took the woman out of the man.
Right.
The Holy Spirit came out of the Father.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's awesome.
So, anyway, we're not here to talk about that, but we've done thorough studies on that. Revelation 12:17, the dragon was enraged at the woman. The reason that the dragon is enraged at the woman is because she's the helper that her son promised to send here. Can you, fathom this? The son says, look, I'm going away, but I'm sending my mother here, and she's going to take over. She's going to do what I've been doing. I can't even... The disciples still, they were like, okay. Their heads are spinning because they've heard so many things that they just can't wrap their heads around. But you say, look, my mother's coming and she's going to take care of you. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, how good is that? She's going to teach you. She's going to remind you of every word that I've said to you so you can write it down. Don't worry about whether you can remember it or not. She knows exactly what I said, and she's going to bring that to your mind so that you can write it down. So she's here to do her job. Problem is, the disciples didn't get it, and everybody all along that room didn't get it. They're all looking at that, you know. Oh, that's Israel. Oh, that's the church. Oh, that's the Jews. It's everybody but the Holy Spirit, who it really is. And now we have some people who are listening to her. I have to say this, and we're the clock's clicking down. But anyway, Dennis, go ahead.
Just a quickie side. The word, therefore, enraged is Strong's G3710, orgizo. It does mean to enrage. It means also to provoke. And it also means to become exasperated. Satan has become exasperated with the Holy Spirit. And since he can't get to her anymore, he takes it out on those people who have been born of her.
That's how he persecutes her.
By
persecuting those who have been listening to her.
Exactly.
But when I stop to think of everything I understand now, that is just, it is so amazing to me. Utterly amazing to me. And I think the Holy Spirit is awesome. I have such a close feeling with the Holy Spirit, like mother.
Mama.
In fact, sometimes I call her mother. I do it respectfully. Mm-hmm. And of course, that would assume that I have been born from above. And I'm not saying that, but, she is my mother, because she is the one who's been teaching me. That's what she's here for. She needed people to listen to her. Most people won't listen to her because what she says sounds like a lie to them, because it doesn't go along with Paul.
Right. Not at all.
And the spirit that people are listening to from Paul is not mother. It's a very evil spirit that they are hearing. The same spirit that everybody received when they received Paul's message. And they all got the spirit and they're blabbering away, and some are having visions and some are speaking in pride. Some are talking in a language that nobody knows, and somebody else over here is interpreting that. And, and Paul is saying, this is the confirmation of the truth that I have just told you, because you've all received the spirit and you have all this manifestation of this spirit. Those spirits are not the spirit that you want to have anything to do with.
I think that's the language of hell.
Yeah.
So, the dragon was PO'd at the woman.
Okay.
Putting it mildly.
But you see, he cannot do anything to her. So what does he do? He goes off to prepare for war. And guess what? The war he is going to conduct against her offspring means life or death for him.
Mm-hmm.
And if he cannot successfully conduct his war against her offspring, he is done for. And we're going to talk about this. He has many tricks in his bag that he is going to use. Who are these offspring of the women? It says that right in there. These are they who keep the commandments of God. That's obey the will of the Father, keep the commandments of God, and hold to the testimony of Jesus. What is the testimony of Jesus? He said it. The truth. Anything other than the testimony of Jesus is a lie. And no lie is going to get you into the kingdom. Turn to Revelation 10. I have a new respect for Revelation 10. It is the heart of Revelation. In fact, it is right in the middle there. It is the heart of Revelation. And what I have learned now from Revelation 10 is not what I believed even four years ago. At least two ago. What I used to think is, well, these seven thunders, you know, maybe they're the message to the seven churches. Maybe it's just a symbolic meaning of the unsealing of Daniel. No. It's none of those. When you read in Daniel 7, and we can turn to Daniel 7, I'm just going to read this one verse in Daniel 7. And it says this, verses, I'm going to read 24 and 25. As for the 10 horns, from this kingdom will rise 10 kings and another after them. This one will be different from the previous ones and will bring down 3 kings. He is going to speak words against the Most High. Speaking words against the Most High is taking a lie and calling it the truth, the Word of God. And harass the saints of the Most High. He will consider, or he will intend, to change the set times.
Appointed times. Wow.
Appointed times, set times. These are, if you had your day runner book or your phone with your calendar on it, and you set a schedule appointment or a date for something, and you put that in there, it's an appointed time. That's where you're going to go. It's a set time that you're going to do. Well, what if that if you're coming up to that, and then something comes up, an emergency or something, and you can't make that appointment, so what do? You have to delay it. You have to reschedule that for another date. But something could happen between that time and your next appointed date that could change everything. His intention will be to change the set times. Obviously, he must know he can do it, right? He's not going to try to do something he knows he can't do. So he is going to attempt to change the set times. He knows how to do it. He just needs to accomplish that. And the law. Well, you know he's changed the law because he took the law out of salvation through the gospel of Paul. All right, back to Revelation 10. Then I saw another powerful angel coming down from heaven wrapped in a cloud, with a rainbow over his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were pillars of fire. In his hand, he had a small scroll unrolled. He put his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and he shouted so loud it was like a lion roaring. Now, we here living on this earth realize that we have two legal systems. We have the law of the land, which is common law, and we have law of the sea, which is Admiral's law. And, of course, the shysters, the evildoers, the crooks have managed to bring the law of the sea onto the land, which is the system we live under here in the United States
and around the world.
This mighty angel with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea is saying, I stand as authority over both these laws, legal systems. And then, as he spoke, like the roar of a lion, at this, seven claps of thunder made themselves heard. And when the seven thunderclaps had spoken, I was preparing to write when I heard a voice from heaven say to me, keep the words of the seven thunderclaps secret. Do not write them down.
Wow.
Now, you have to scratch. I scratch my head. You know, I, wow. All right, here's revelation.
Mm-hmm.
That means the cover's been taken off. The secret is out. We all know what's going to happen. God has told us everything.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. He says, don't write it down. Don't write it down. Seal it up. Keep it a secret. That's what I want you to understand. Keep it a secret. A secret from whom? Everybody, including Satan. Why? Why would God need to keep some information from Satan?
So Satan cannot change
because
the time.
Because if he knew it,
right.
He would take measures to delay it. He would cause something to happen so that what that was supposed to be would never happen.
Yeah.
And as long as he can keep that going, God cannot finish. Because the devil's life depends on his ability to change the set times. And he's extremely gifted at that. So, John, I believe, is the only one who heard what the seven thunders had to say. The devil didn't hear it. And I can't tell the devil because I don't know it. It's been sealed up.
Right.
If I knew it and others who studied Revelation knew it, if they could read what the seven thunders said, the devil could read what the seven thunders said, and he could change it.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
By the way, doesn't that give you a great sense of hope?
The seven thunders are not the unsealing of Daniel, the parts that were sealed up. The seven thunders have nothing to do with the seven messages to the seven churches. The information that the seven thunders told John has not been told to anybody else.
And it went with John when he died.
Why else would this even be here in Revelation?
Yeah.
Why, I mean, if God needed to hold back some information until the very end, then why didn't he just hold it back? Why did he tell John? Because John wrote down that he heard seven thunders, and he wrote down what he was told not to do about the seven thunders. Guess what? That helped me understand that the devil is altering time, but he can't alter time if he doesn't know what he has to do to alter what event he has to alter.
Right.
God has thought of everything. Wow, he must be God. Then the angel that I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven. Oh, standing on the sea, standing on the land, raises his right hand to heaven. Now we've connected everything. He's speaking with the authority of heaven, and he swears. And let me tell you, what he swears. He raised his right hand to heaven and swore by the one who lives forever and ever, who made heaven and all that is in it, the earth and all that it bears, and the sea and all that it holds. No. Who is he swearing in the name of? God. When you swear in the name of God, you had better know what you're swearing about, because if that isn't carried through on, there is a huge debt to pay, which is death, by the way.
Eternal death.
So when he says this, the time of waiting is over. No more delay. The time of waiting is over. Well, why has there been a delay? Because the devil has been changing time, altering the times. See? So we had come to the appointed time, but he'd already switched things up. That's why there has to be some secret. Some secret. And guess what? Time of waiting is over. At the time when the seventh angel is heard sounding his trumpet, God's secret intention will be fulfilled.
What's the text where it says secret? Can you give us that?
That's Revelation 10, 7.
Verse 7 of Revelation 10.
Thank you. Wow.
You will say the mystery of God. That's the same thing. Just as he announced in the gospel, told to his servants, the prophets. Then I heard a voice I had heard from heaven speaking to me again. Go, it said, and take that open scroll out of the hand of the angel standing on the sea and the land. I went to the angel and asked him to give me the scroll. And he said, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will taste as sweet as honey. So I took it out of the angel's hand, I swallowed it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, you are to prophesy again, this time about many different nations and countries and languages and emperors. There it is. A whole new prophetic message, which of course is connected by the seven thunders that John heard, which reveals the secret intention of God. That scroll that the angel had contains a prophecy that is unknown to mankind, never has been revealed. Some people say, well, when is it going to be revealed? Boy, the devil would love to know that.
And he would love to know to whom.
He probably knows to whom. He just doesn't know when. But we are told that he knows when his time is about done. Mm-hmm. He knows that. Delivered. That he knows that. And he goes.
Raging.
That's what the sourness is. The sweetness is, this is it.
Here's the prophecy.
Right. We now know how it's all going to be accomplished. We know the devil can't change any of this anymore. But the sourness in the stomach, it is not going to be talking about a wonderful time. It is going to be hell to pay. And hell is an exacting.
Wow.
So, what I'm saying is this.
It's the time of trouble, right?
Oh, yeah. Such as never has been since there was a nation until that day and never will be again. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And by the way, just apropos, this definitively proves our friend Toby completely wrong.
Well,
but we won't go into that.
We didn't need to say that.
Well, but
well, and we didn't.
We didn't. Yeah.
So I started out with Moses. Moses was called to be a prophet and a leader. Mm-hmm. Moses knew he couldn't refuse, because I think he knew that God would say, either you are the prophet that I've called you to be, or you're a dead man. So I think Moses knew that. God did cut him a little slack, because he didn't have time to argue with Moses about speaking or not speaking. It did really upset God that Moses would not let God be God. And that's one thing we really need to remember. God is not one of us humans sitting here with us, you know, we need to bring him up to date, get him up to speed. God was here before anything was here. God is a being that we cannot even fathom at all. We must not try to counsel God, inform God, and refuse God. Let God be God, and things will be fine. So Moses was the first leader. He wrote the law as God told it to him. He had become somewhat of a stature of a deity to the religious leaders at the time of Christ. They held Moses up as their savior, if they only knew Moses. The Son of God chose 12 men who really didn't get it. But of those 12 men, two of them wrote what they heard. Thank God they wrote what they heard, because I couldn't do this if they hadn't written what they wrote. This would be impossible. To me, this is a huge miracle, far beyond anything God has ever done, is he has preserved those words down through time so that I can read them and I can share them with you. You decide whether I'm on the level, whether I'm telling the truth or not. That's up to you to decide. I'm taking God at his word. And now Revelation is becoming even more. It's like I've read Revelation so many times, and then all of a sudden Revelation chapter 10 was right there. And it totally and completely made sense. So we are in a delay. I don't expect the delay is going to be much longer. I can't see that it will be much longer.
It's like a Jonah. He's waiting for God's punishment to the city of Nineveh. So which means he's willing to save the time which God promised him or not.
That's right.
He wasn't letting God be God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here today. We encourage you to go to our website at blogtalkradio.com/SOT and download this and any of the other programs that we have put there. We also encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. So on behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Neufeld saying so long for now, and we hope you have a good day, and we'll see you all tomorrow.